If you're a gym owner dedicated to delivering a better training experience than your competitors, then you already know that one of the biggest bottlenecks in your business is programming. Most gym owners are either doing it themselves or paying a team a small fortune just to keep up. That's why I want to tell you about our sponsor, Semi-Private Pro, a platform that we built out of necessity in our own gym after realizing how much time and money we were just wasting to stay on top of programming. Let me give you a couple real-world examples. Ayn Toppin, she was spending 3 hours a day on programming. After switching to Semi-Private Pro, that dropped to zero, with zero drop in quality. Scott Wilson out of Kentucky, he's paying his team 15 hours a week for programming. Now they handle it in 15 minutes and it's actually better than before. And Elizabeth Rogers, she reclaimed her Sundays. No more weekends behind a laptop writing workouts, and her coaches are now more aligned and consistent than ever. Guys, that is what Semi-Private Pro does. It gives you a master programming system your coaches can easily follow and adjust in real time. And here's the best part. This isn't some cookie-cutter, one-size-fits-all template. Thanks to Semi-Private Pro's trademark movement matrix, every client workout is customized to their goals and movement quality. So it's not just faster, it's actually more individualized, more professional, and completely scalable. So if you're tired of spending your weekends writing workouts or worse, paying your team to do it, head on over to semiprivatepro.com to learn more. That's semiprivatepro.com and reclaim your time and level up your training. All right. Welcome back to the Gym Business Coach Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, in the studio outside the harbor, Statue of Liberty. What's the name of that harbor? Anyone know? Anyways. Look at us up on YouTube. You'll see the picture we're looking at. Joined by Zach Columbia. What's up, man?
Joined by Randy Yangston.
Randy's not here. Randy'll be here tomorrow.
It's a habit.
It is a habit. We've done freaking 750 episodes at this point.
Crazy.
Did you know that most podcasts end with seven episodes?
Seven episodes.
We just can't stop talking. That's why. We got so much to talk about.
Tuesday, Thursday, every week for the last...
Do the math, man. If you do 104 a year, and we're 750 in.
Yeah. Well, so we've got this really awesome project that we're doing that is coming out at the Grow Summit.
Yes.
And I've been working really hard on the back end stuff of it, mm-hmm. and I've been going back to old episodes to find like lessons and material and stuff that you guys talked about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. But it's fun because I'm seeing like different versions of Tim and Randy like over the years.
Now I'm tired. This is the tired to get to. You know, guys, I'm tired. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm 18 years into this thing, but I'm not tired like physically. I'm tired of seeing gym owners struggle in a way that they don't have to, because there's literally gym owners that struggle and ones that excel. And you always kind of look at like, what is the difference? Is it gusto? Is it market? Is it, you know, capital? You know, the last episode we talked about time and urgency. I would say urgency is a big piece of that, but betting on themselves is mostly the difference. Like, they don't trust themselves in a lot of ways to do the thing. And therefore it paralyzes them to make decisions. It's just interesting because at the other side of this decision of becoming a true business owner, there is some really cool things that you can do with your life, whether that's time, freedom, or financial freedom. But it's kind of reminds me of a story that I told a long time ago. I was at a family reunion. Okay. And my cousin Abby, if she's listening, what's up, Abby? One of my favorite cousins. She's a pharmacist. Okay, so she runs like this big pharmacy, pharmacist, right? Like you get your drugs and stuff. Not like a CVS, but like a chain of these ones. Yeah. And she's like really high up, and she went to school for this, and this is her passion. She went to Florida. She's a Gator, but my family, or at least my mom, looks at Abby as like this wonder child. It like, oh my God, look at Abby go. And she's a pharmacist and all that stuff. And while I think that's great, she doesn't even look at her own son as having succeeded at any level, because I'm a business owner. I own a gym, but I'm a business owner. And she looks at the prestige of a degree in that line of work as better or higher level than, say, somebody that owns a business, which is ironic on so many ways because, Abby, love you, but you got to go to work to make money. You got to go to work, got to go clock in. You got to do the job. A gym owner doesn't. A gym owner that runs a business with systems could go on vacation for 3 months and still make the same amount of money, take home, whether or not they clocked in at all. And to me, that's the definition of success. Okay. What does that also mean? That also means even, yeah, a prestigious pharmaceutical or pharmacy owner or whatever is the same as a doctor, is the same as a lawyer, is the same as a chiropractor and a dentist. While these are all prestigious, what are they? Industries, prestigious jobs, yeah. Professions. There you go. Yeah. To me, they are self-employed or they're trading time for money.
Exactly.
Rick next door, dentist, great guy, went to school for forever. He's a great dentist. But guess who's doing the work on my teeth? Rick. He's in there. He's got the goggles on. He's drilling stuff, right? To me, that's, I mean, I'd love to say, like, that's not success to me, like, at all. It's like, dude, if you don't go in, you're not going to make any money. I'm sure he's got some technicians and stuff that can kind of make, but he's the big money maker in there. And while I think that's cool, and yeah, you can probably make a lot per hour. He's pretty expensive, by the way. It's still his time.
Yeah.
And that's the point I want to make. Gym owners, you took this opportunity to open a business. And with business, the potential is it's unlimited. If we're being honest, you can create new things today and sell, make more money today if you wanted to. You're not. It has nothing to do with your time doing the job. And so, I think the coolest thing to think about as a gym owner is once you do get a business that runs without you physically doing the work, everything opens up. Like, to me, that's success. Okay. Whether or not a gym owner makes more than the dentist or not, the time to make the money is what I'm talking about success. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the book Cashflow Quadrant from Robert Kiyosaki was the one that explained everything to me the day I opened my gym. My dad gave me that book and I read it and I was like, oh my God, my mom's been a school teacher for 30 something years. And that's probably why she thinks the way she thinks, because she's in the education, you know, like it's all about degrees and going to prestigious colleges and stuff. And I'm like, my daughter doesn't have to go to college if she doesn't want to. I don't believe that that's the path anymore. And so right back to the gym owner again, guys, you have such a cool opportunity, but the only way that this works is if you get yourself out of the operations, out of the delivery of it, then to me, that's success. Whether or not that's success to you, I think you need to define that. But to me, it's the time. And so the other thing I will say, because Joey Coleman pulled me aside at that Iron Circle experience and said, like, hey, the identity of a gym owner. Look, I still call myself a gym owner every day, all the time, but I'm not in the gym. And so I just don't want to think like a gym owner to not do the things that it takes to get yourself out of the operations because you don't believe you're going to be a gym owner anymore. You're still a gym owner, but you're just not an operator gym owner. You're an architect or you're an orchestrator is what we call it. So figured I'd throw that out there.
Well, I think that your mom is the norm.
Yeah.
I think that's how
society
has been conditioned
right.
to think. You go back, you know, a couple hundred years, everybody was self-employed. Everybody had, you know, their own store, their own business, or they worked for themselves. And, you know, big corporations then start educating people and turning you into basically a employee who's going to trade time for money, and you go and work. And somehow that has become the
standard.
The standard.
It's really true.
And one thing that I think is, I don't know, like it's under recognized that we see all the time, especially in the Iron Circle, is these super successful gym owners that are entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. they don't have people in their lives that they can relate to.
Yeah.
And I see this mm-hmm. with my family. I see it, you know, in conversations with my friends that aren't business owners, that it, you just, there's something about owning a business and understanding the struggles of it, but also the beauty of it. And you relate to that. Somebody that just goes and is a pharmacist and punches the clock,
sure,
they don't get it. And so I think a lot of times on the last episode, we talked about that gym owner kind of guilt of like, oh, I, you know, if I'm not on the training floor or if I'm not working with the clients or whatever, well, that is the norm. And the gym owner feels that, and there's this kind of like emotional tie. Oh, I feel guilty if I'm not training the client, because your client probably doesn't want to see you succeed and be this ultra successful entrepreneur.
They'll lose something.
Because they'll lose something. And so that's really, it's interesting, because when we have like our Iron Circle experiences, mm-hmm. you can't, there's something invaluable about being able to just like connect with people that understand you and how your brain thinks. Yeah. And most people are not wired that way.
That's 100% the truth. And that's why I struggle sometimes, you know, even going out with friends to dinner with families and stuff, the conversations are so like surface level. It gets me like, not anxiety, but like, I want to get the hell out of there, because I'm just like not being stimulated. It's just whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so like, I explained this to my daughter the other night, this exact thing. And she likes to go deep in the weeds and talk about business and stuff, because I believe she'll be an entrepreneur. She's going to do something in that line. But she goes, oh, I understand what you mean. Because, you know, we bring a friend out, like her friend Leslie or whatever. We're talking about horses and butterflies and stuff like that. And this is the mom or whatever, right? And it's just like, no, let's talk about making moves. Who's making investment. Moves? Who's doing investments? So I was at a family thing. We're all around the fireplace and outside, kind of just having drinks and stuff. And I was like, all right, guys, who's making big moves right now? And I'm looking around. And I just like got like, what are you talking about?
What do you mean moves?
They hate their jobs.
Yep.
They can't, like, they're living for the weekends. And I'm like, no, this is like Saturday night. Let's freaking make some moves Monday morning. Let's do something. Like, you guys want to invest? You want to go start another business? Like, let's do it. And they're like, they want nothing to do with it. It's just not normal. I think that's the point.
Yeah.
Right. And it's okay. But you have to surround yourself with those like-minded, driven individuals that's where opportunities occur.
Yeah.
That's literally our motto.
Well, and if you look at a gym owner, they opened a gym.
Yeah.
So they have some.
If you're a gym owner dedicated to delivering a better training experience than your competitors, then you already know that one of the biggest bottlenecks in your business is programming. Most gym owners are either doing it themselves or paying a team a small fortune just to keep up. That's why I want to tell you about our sponsor, Semi-Private Pro, a platform that we built out of necessity in our own gym after realizing how much time and money we were just wasting to stay on top of programming. Let me give you a couple real world examples. Ayn Toppin, she was spending 3 hours a day on programming. After switching to Semi-Private Pro, that dropped to zero, with zero drop in quality. Scott Wilson out of Kentucky, he's paying his team 15 hours a week for programming. Now they handle it in 15 minutes and it's actually better than before. And Elizabeth Rogers, she reclaimed her Sundays. No more weekends behind a laptop writing workouts, and her coaches are now more aligned and consistent than ever. Guys, that is what Semi-Private Pro does. It gives you a master programming system your coaches can easily follow and adjust in real time. And here's the best part. This isn't some cookie cutter, one size fits all template. Thanks to Semi-Private Pro's trademark movement matrix, every client workout is customized to their goals and movement quality. So it's not just faster, it's actually more individualized, more professional, and completely scalable. So if you're tired of spending your weekends writing workouts, or worse, paying your team to do it, head on over to semiprivatepro.com to learn more. That's semiprivatepro.com, and reclaim your time and level up your training.
All right, before we jump back into the episode, a quick note for the gym owners listening right now. If you're the kind of owner that is always pushing for the next level, you should know about the Growth Summit. Every year, we bring together some of the most driven gym owners in the industry for 3 days. This year, it's in Scottsdale. No fluff, no bullshit, just serious operators talking about what it really takes to build a gym that works as a business. Several thousand gym owners from all over the world so far have attended. So if you want to be in the room with people who refuse to settle for average, head on over to fitprogrowsummit.com and grab your ticket now, June 25th through 27th in Scottsdale. All right, let's get back to the show.
Sort of like entrepreneurial spirit inside of them. I think one of the reasons why burnout is so high with gym owners is because they have that fire inside of them, but they maybe don't have the education or the expertise, and they become a business owner and they start getting kicked in the face. And you alluded to this previously, like on last episode, like they lose that fire, that confidence in themselves to be like, oh, I can do this.
Sure.
And I think that they get stuck. They get paralyzed because of that. They start getting kicked instead of just putting their head down and being like, I'm not slowing down for anything.
Yeah.
Business is kicking them in the face. Clients are kicking them in the face. Their family doesn't understand them. They have nobody to talk to that gets them. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting there at dinner going, this is so boring. I'm getting anxious. I need to go grind in my gym for the next 12 hours.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing that makes them feel as though they're working hard, but they're not moving towards freedom. They're not building something bigger, and they don't see it. That's the sad part about this industry that we're in.
Yeah.
And the part that's frustrating, what you're tired of, is like, guys, there's such a bigger future, and you could have so much, you know, so many more great things.
It is amazing. I've seen some major success just in this fitness industry, just in our small circle of Iron Circle folks. Like, and I'm going to tell the story on stage and stuff, but I'll allude to it now. We do these Iron Circle events, and, you know, as they wind down, kind of everybody's hanging out in the kitchens a lot of times, or outside and having drinks, eating, you know, like desserts and stuff. And I was looking around the island at the Orlando one. And I was just like literally looking at each face that was still, there was like 10 faces. I was just looking at each face, and you were there. And I was like, look at what has changed since I've met these people. Like, look at Casey Washak. He started a whole coaching program for MMA studios. Look at Alec Lieberman, who's got a second location, and he's an investor in the island in Belize with me. Look at you. You started a semi-private pro and created that whole another business that didn't even exist. Look at Justin and Teresa. They started with me. They had, you know, the single location. They were struggling. Now they own the whole shopping center. That's a massive shopping center. And he's going online, and she's doing huge things. Alex and Kim, they bought their mom a house, and they got their second location from negative to super profitable by moving and changing locations and stuff like that. And it just go down the list. I'm like, the fitness industry did that. It was their gyms did that. It wasn't like that they just created it. Like, their gyms were successful. That gave them a new opportunity because either they freed up their time or it made them money so that they can reinvest into something else. And it's just like, wow. And no, I don't want to take any credit for all of this, but it's very cool to see, like, you were here when we met and now you're way over here. And that's just not even the midway point. That's just getting started for a lot of these guys. So I've seen success on a high level in this industry, and so I know it can be done. I know it. But there's a whole nother part of this industry that plays so small, that does not succeed, that is paralyzed, who lost the fire, who won't take the risk anymore because either they don't trust it in themselves or they're just so paralyzed that they, you know, the only way they know is to go work harder. And you can work as hard as you want sometimes, and if you're doing the wrong things, it doesn't matter, right?
Well, you get to look at the circle you run in.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, if you're I know we throw shade sometimes at, like, the CrossFit model because it's not a winning business model. Yeah. But if you are in a struggling business model, your CrossFit gym, and you surround yourself with struggling CrossFit gyms, you're never going to see the potential mm-hmm. that could there is in this industry. And that's a huge part of it. And so you have whole entire coaching groups and programs and people who all of they've known is struggle in really mediocrity.
They barely make it.
And they're trying to inspire you to do great things. Meanwhile, it's like their great things are, we would close our gym down. You would be like, dude, let's shut down if we were even close to doing what they would consider good, you know? It really is sad, especially because we're in such a phenomenal industry where we're actually helping people.
Sure.
Like, I don't know Abby, but she sounds great, but she's just giving people drugs.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're actually helping people, and there's something that's noble about that.
Of course there is. Yeah. Abby's great and she is, you know, doing her thing, but we're not a fan of Big Pharma. No, not even close.
No.
But that's a different topic for another day. Here's the key takeaway. There could be two different gym owners in the same market, in the same size building with two different models. One's exponentially better financially, time freedom, more clients, or even less clients, but just make more money than another gym that is in the wrong model. And even the gym that's in the wrong model could be working 10 times harder and they will never get there. They will never beat them. We close gyms down around here. Like, gyms are closing left and right, but we're still here.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said, you know, like franchise gyms that should be around. Anytime Fitness is closing, if F45 is closing, you know, all different types of, like, you know, gyms moving out of the area.
Yeah.
To a cheaper area. But we're still here. Like, we're still here. And it's like, well, what's the reason? Is it because we just train better? You know, you could say that maybe, but I think it's the model. It's the model that we deliver. And that's what we teach. That's what we teach gym owners. So, like, I don't know. I could see where, like, it does get frustrating working with gyms that just aren't willing to change. Because they just believe this other way, or that's the only way they know. That's the other thing. It's the only way they know. And the other thing that keeps gyms from changing is, this is my baby. I built it. Like, I'm not going to change. And that's another, I mean, that's a trap, for being honest. So
yeah.
Listen, gym owners, you started a business for freedom at some level, whether it's the freedom to decide what you wanted to do, the freedom of time, the freedom to make whatever you wanted. And so, like, the fact that you've done it, that's the hardest part, was like to start the business. Now you've got the business, you know, getting to the other side of the cash flow quadrant from self-employed to business owner, that should be your goal. I mean, I don't know if you've got your own goals, but like, that should be it, because whether or not you love to train, just because you move over to the other side to the business owner where it runs on systems, you still can go train people if you want to. Like, if I told you, you know, this will never happen, hey, buddy, do you mind if I take a shift next week? You'd probably say, what? Ask Jolie, right? Jolie, you have to ask her first. But, like, yeah, I can go do it.
Yeah.
If I want, you know, if I felt like they need to go train people today because I love it or something, then I can do it, but I don't need to.
Can I tell a quick story?
Go ahead. Go ahead. I already know.
Have we told the story?
I don't think so.
Okay, so it was April Fool's last year. When the team played a joke on me and coaches start texting me saying, I'm sick, I'm not going to be able to come in tomorrow. And I'm like, within a couple minutes, three of them have told me they're out sick the next day. And I'm like, oh man, I got consultations on my schedule. I send you a mess. I'm like, can you cover this? I got to cover the training.
Yeah.
And then I remember sending you a message, just all within like 10 minutes.
It was happening, rapid fire.
Yeah, like a rap, like not my first rodeo, right? So I remember sending you a message and be like, how do you feel about training? And you said, shut the gym down.
I said, shut the gym down.
You're like, call the clients.
Just shut it down, man. We don't have any coaches. I'm not coming back into training, buddy.
I'm not traded.
Well, I mean, thank God it was a joke.
April Fool's.
It was a great joke. They nailed us.
They got me
good. They got us both.
Yeah.
I'm like, it wasn't even a hesitation. Like, Zach said, hey, what do you think about training? We'll cancel his consultation. What do you think about training, like, whatever, the first half I'll train, the second half or something, whatever it was. I go, shut the gym down, close it. We're not training anybody tomorrow.
I was looking at the schedule. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to train 12 people for 6 hours straight every hour.
He would have done it. He would have figured out how to do it. And I was like,
nope.
Nah.
Call the clients. Cancel.
That's not the best use of our time. And I don't know if that would have been the best move. I probably would have dragged myself in there. But like gut reaction was like, nah, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, man. Yeah. It's just interesting. But gym owners, listen, you know, this is for you. This is for you to like think about that other side of that line. You running a gym is better than being a dentist that's got to drill teeth to make money. Running a gym and owning a gym is better than that lawyer that's got to book his time, you know, by the 10th of an hour just to make money. Running a gym is better than basically any self-employed business. I mean, almost all businesses, for being honest. If you're looking at it from the aspect of time, you've got so many great things that come with owning a gym, like fixed expenses. So when once you get past your base operating expenses, every new thing is bottom line. You got recurring revenue as a model just built into the whole thing. It's like great things. And you can hire coaches, and you can hire people to make the sales. You can hire people to do the marketing. And you could just be there if they need you. And then go do something else with your time, whether or not that's if you take a vacation or start a new business or open up a second location or invest in stocks or do be a day trader, doesn't matter. But you have the freedom of the choice. And that to me is worth more than technically making more money, honestly, if I'm being honest. So anyways, how do you feel about that? No?
Systems. Systems. Business ownership. You own the systems, people run them.
There you go.
That's it.
All right. That was on a little bit of a soapbox and a little bit of a rant, but I think it was valuable just to kind of talk that through. So hopefully that helps you guys. We've got a growth summit. We've got some cool stuff for you guys. Links are in the show notes. We've got a gym risk report you can go check out. Whatever. Links will be in the show notes. If you want to jump on a call with us, be happy to help you. That's it for this episode. Until next time, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next show. If you enjoyed this episode and want to go deeper on this stuff, head on over to our YouTube channel. The podcast right here is where we have the conversations, but on the YouTube, we break down things much more in depth. We walk through real frameworks, real strategies, and systems that gym owners are using right now to build better businesses. Just search Gym Business Coach on YouTube or head on over to youtube.com/@TheGymBusinessCoach.com. Subscribe to the channel and I will see you over there.